for weapons of mass destruction, what they call industrial D. They spend their time doing dealing with that. But then together, these three arms constitute the South African arms control system. And therefore, the function of the ANC is it does not exist in a vacuum. It exists because there is a strong defense industry base in South Africa, which has got to be regulated. Therefore, it doesn't just exist without a context. Chairperson, one of the things which are very important in understanding this business of the ANC is the arms control as a function. Is that it is consensus that forms the basis of that. So one of that is that generally, internationally, there is a whole agreement and consensus around the sensitivity of defense equipment and products, products and services. Everyone agrees that these items are sensitive and they therefore require to be dealt with as such. And equally, in South Africa, there is consensus, and I think the Act gives effect to that consensus, that there shall be responsible trade, there shall be regular trade, and there shall be accountability in how the arms trade business is conducted. And South Africa, again, is as a point of consensus, is that as it participates in the global arms market, it should do so as a responsible player, not as an irresponsible, but as a responsible player. And therefore, the NCECC exists so that it can give effect to that particular responsibility. But the other thing is also to ensure that at the end of the day, as the armed control is conducted, there is indeed certainty. A person knows that it's subjected to a particular certain process. There is predictability of the system. There should be responsibility, accountability, regularity, and objectivity. Those are some of the factors that therefore drive the work of the NCECC. Chairperson, therefore, to this Act, the Act that we seek to amend currently, has, amongst other things, it has been in force since 2003. I must say that before then, arms control was conducted under the amended AMCO Act. The AMCO Act was taken out of this business in 2003 when this Act came into force. And since 2003 to date, there has been quite a number of lessons learned by the arms control institution. And these, they include the following aspects. There have been some challenges that the NCECC has been exposed to in the area of administration, how you deal with administration. There have been some legal limitations to the Act that you administer. There have been some realities, obviously, as the NCECC progresses, there is development both domestically and internationally, and it is therefore the duty of the NCECC to stay alive to those realities, so that we do not become irrelevant to the development. And there's also been a requirement from our side to ensure that we must forge a very effective relationship between the industry and the arms, because we think that is a stakeholder that the NCECC exists to regulate, and therefore the relationship between the two must indeed be a very effective one. And there's also the issue of responsibility and maturity. As the industry matures, we must ensure that the responsibility that they take is in line with the maturity that they demonstrate. So those are two inseparable points. The review process, Jefferson, started in 2006, and therefore there was an interdepartmental working group established to review the Act. And that comprised of all the review departments, Foreign Affairs, DTI, all the intelligence agencies, Defense Department, the police, and all of that. They constituted this interdepartmental workshop. And the amendments, therefore, that were proposed by that working group were therefore approved by the NCECC and later then approved by Cabinet and then introduced to Parliament, and hence therefore the legislation before the committee. But the defense industry, which is a key stakeholder in this business, I must say, Chairperson, that they have had an indirect contribution to the amendment. And maybe tomorrow, as they make their own intervention in this business, they will therefore indicate that. They have therefore conducted some survey amongst their members of what they generally expect of the NCECC and all of that. And as we are amending this legislation, we have therefore taken into account some of those things to the extent that those views of the industry could be accommodated within the law. So there has been some indirect contribution towards that. And obviously the bill was introduced in 2008. The key question.
Hopefully they won't come and claim that they say they have it.
I hope so, sir. I hope so. The key object, Chairperson, of this very amendment is that at the end of the day, we want to see an improvement to improve and facilitate the regulatory role of the NCC. As the Minister of Defense has indicated, that since 2003, we have learned quite a lot. And it is those lessons that we therefore want to put into practice in terms of the law. And that is why therefore, we want to see that there is an improvement in the work that the NCC does of regulating the defense industry. But at the same time, we need to be very cognizant of the fact that there is a reality of business, and we need to be in line and relevant to those developments. One of the proposals, the question is, just to come to the meat of it all now, one of the proposals that we are introducing or we are putting to Parliament is around the scope of application of the Act. Firstly, the Act in its current form favors or is biased towards trade in a context of export-import. However, in the practice that we have gone through, we have recommended that there are certain other things that are happening inside the country that we need to deal with. And one of those is the issue of domestic transfer, where items, local companies are exchanging weapons, they are selling weapons. If company X in Cape Town is selling another weapon to company Y in Johannesburg, or between individuals. So we've got to be able to authorize that, because as I said, these are sensitive products and the NCC needs at all times to be aware of who is in possession of what. Otherwise the security of the state can be at stake. And secondly, the other issue, the whole issue of possession. We have heard there are close to legal challenges around that. There are people who argue that I'm in possession of a particular weapon, but I'm not trading. The excess you must be trading. So therefore, we want to also deal with people, to extend the scope of the Act, to also deal with those who are just possessing weapons, not for trade purposes, just possessing them, because there is a limitation in terms of Act, in terms of dealing with those people. So we want now to cover those realities, because these are things that are very practical. But at the same time, therefore, we want also to deal with the issue of dual goods. These are goods, dual goods are goods that have got a dual application. They can be used in civilian environment and major environment. But these items are not sensitive equipment per se. And we need therefore to be able to deal with them, because you can't escape them. But I will talk later to say what kind of requirements you want to place onto them. But in terms of the scope of the NCC, we want to extend that to ensure that it deals with domestic transfer as well as possession, and also deals with the issue of human rights. In the destinations, we're introducing new destinations. One is we are defining or we're giving new destinations like armed conflict. We are borrowing the destination here from the National Activities Act. So we are taking that from there and put it in the text so that there is consistency between the two legislations, so that as you interpret them, there is no inconsistency. And secondly, we are introducing a new concept, Chairperson, the whole issue of controlled items. We say currently the Act talks about conventional arms. But we want to introduce a particular term, obviously, which is called controlled items. And under the controlled items, we will therefore have three elements. We're going to have conventional arms, we're going to have dual-use goods and services. All these three will therefore be called controlled items. So obviously, then there will be different requirements that you place on each one of them. Because if you just say conventional arms, you are therefore limited, because you can't therefore deal comprehensively with issues of dual-use goods. That is why therefore we want to elevate that and have a dual-use goods term, and under which therefore there shall be conventional arms with this set of control. Dual-use goods with this set of controls, as well as the issue of offenses. And obviously, how we define conventional arms, we relate that to munition based on the arsenal. There is agreement internationally what is a conventional arm, and we cannot depart from that particular understanding. We want to define it in the manner that is understood in South Africa and understood internationally. We don't want to create any other alternative definition of arsenal. and we therefore deal with the issues of by introducing incorporate controls measures into what is good. We are introducing a new term against domestic transfers. In the case where people are selling, as I had made an example of Johannesburg and Cape Town Company, we need to define what do we call a domestic transfer so that there is no doubt about that. And also, we are introducing the issue of definition of tenants. Tenants will be defined in terms of relating them to Section 14, which talks about tenants. But however, you will therefore find that in the regulation of the Act, we will therefore detail the different kinds of tenants. But in the Act, there will therefore be a reference to tenants. But however, in the regulation, we will therefore explain in finer detail the different kinds of contracting, export, import, transit, and all of that. And obviously, in the definition, we're also defining what the National Activities Act is, and obviously, we are referring to the Act that is currently standing. The other issue that we are introducing is the issue of scrutiny committee. I think scrutiny committee, Chairperson, we are defining it, but I think when it comes to Section 7, I will deal with that comprehensively, so that it's understood in context. But we are saying, in the definition, we will define what the scrutiny committee is and what it does. Causation, again, we're saying, given the fact that we have extended the scope of the NCEC Act to cover causation, we've got to define what is causation. We are going to criminalize that. If you are in possession of controlled items without the license, that will constitute an offense. However, institutions like the SANDF and the police, who by their very nature and mandate, they have to possess weapons, so therefore they are not they are allowed. You don't have to worry about them. You're not limiting their mandate of bearing arms. They will continue to do so. But possession will be limited to people who are not the security agency that is established by Parliament and by law. The object, therefore, of the NC is to Section 3 of the amendment. We're saying, if we are extending the scope of application of the NCECC, you have concomitantly to ensure that the object of the NCECC is also extended to deal with issues of domestic transfer and possession, as I referred to in the scope of application, and at the same time, you need to implement, to ensure that the object of the NCECC covers the National Activities Act. In the National Activities Act, Chairperson, what is happening is the NCECC is being given a particular task to administer that particular legislation. But in the founding or constitutive act of the NCECC, there is no reference to that. So we are aligning the finding legislation of the NCECC with the new mandate that comes out of the National Activities Act. And obviously, then once you expand on the object of the NCECC, you will therefore have the functions of the NCECC also being extended to the extent that the functions of the NCECC will therefore include the administration of the National Activities Act. And secondly, we are saying the NCECC has got a particular responsibility. It is an institution in the country that must ensure that export and import of sensitive equipment is actually properly authorized. Currently, the SAPS, though they've got a mandate to deal with commercial firearms in terms of the Firearms Control Act, but once the quantity of the arms that they are selling reaches a particular threshold, they have to go through the NCECC authorization. For instance, if they are selling 10 set up, for instance, if they are selling 29mm weapons to country X, because that has reached 10, so let us say they must make a recommendation to the NCECC. And equally, if they are selling 20,000 set type of rounds of ammunition, they have to go through the NCECC. But then in this case, we are saying, there could be a possibility in the future, we are preempting situations here, where other legislation may come around us. And we're saying, whatever may arise in the future, we want to ensure that there is alignment with the NCECC. The NCECC would have to reserve the right to ensure that it regulates if the quantities are such that they are too much. Cross-references. Obviously, this act has got to be properly contested and referenced. And they are saying, therefore, this act is related to this other act, and we are making reference to those particular acts in the meditation, so that it is properly linked with other corresponding meditations. The Mercenary Activities Act, Firearm Control Act, Non-Proliferation Act of the NPC, the Explosives Act, Electronic Communication Act. So these are acts that are properly now referenced in this particular act, so that there is no gap left between those legislations. We are closing the gap. Fulton Committee, as I have referred to this matter earlier, Fulton Committee, we are proposing that there be a committee established in terms of the act. And we are saying the role of that particular committee would be to make a recommendation to the NCCC. It will receive applications, consider them, and make a recommendation to the NCCC, so that when the NCCC speaks, it sees, and therefore there are recommendations that are presented to them. But we are saying here we want to legislate for this committee, because this committee has been existed for years, but it has been currently operating under the section of the Act that is called the subcommittee. It has been established currently as a subcommittee of the NCCC. However, the limitation about establishing the NCCC under the subcommittee provision of the Act is that the Act, the provision of the Act, the of subcommittee says, the subcommittee shall be established for a particular task and for a particular period of time. Mm-hmm. There will be a start and end date, year task. But the Fulton Committee, however, does not exist for, it will exist as long as the NCCC exists. So it doesn't have a start and end date. So that is why, therefore, we feel that there is a limitation of having it established under that provision of the Act. But at the same time, one of the issues raised around this issue, the Auditor General has expressed some discomfort about that. Given the powers and the work that it does, one of the views expressed by the Auditor General was, this committee must have constitutions and this and that and the other, so that they can be able to audit the work of that particular committee. Obviously, as a subcommittee, as a committee serving under the NCCC. But therefore, there were other two ways. Either you go another route or you go the legislative route. And you have therefore chosen to go this route. Because after that, there won't be questions asked about what the NCCC is. There won't be questions asked about what is the role. Because everyone, therefore, would know exactly what it does. We say the composition of that would be all the DGs of review departments, foreign affairs, NIA, SAS, all of them. And then they will be chaired by the DG or Secretary for Defense, Mr. Masilele, yeah, in this case, he's currently the chair of the Special Committee. We retain that particular arrangement. But that particular committee, then with that composition, it has a duty to make consideration of applications and make a recommendation to the NCCC. And obviously, the benefit that it has is that it's an official forum where they can therefore get down to detail, to the finer details, and therefore provide indeed very comprehensive recommendations to the NCCC. And then that's why therefore we're saying, we're proposing that we establish this committee by act, not to let it run as a subcommittee, under the subcommittee provision of the act.
Members will have to take a serious and very deep consideration of this recommendation. The NCACC is a subcommittee of TABLET in itself. And the rationale behind the Commission of the NCCC was to provide for cabinet a committee consisting of its own members who would carry the task of thorough scrutiny, because cabinet considered that given its own size it was too big to do. And that, and therefore that the NCACC being directly accountable to cabinet would do this thorough scrutiny, and cabinet could then of course interrogate when the needs arise, interrogate directly the members of the NCACC. Now, the risk, one of the risks of this recommendation is that this function is drifting further away from cabinet. And we have to consider carefully that whether if we took this amendment this way, whilst it is a facilitating process, whether we are not removing the function of cabinet and putting it too far away from cabinet. So we must reflect very, very carefully about that. What checks, recessive went that way, what checks are there? You see, there's always the danger that when you establish something like that, the temptation to shun the responsibility away, because human beings are like that, and to shun the responsibility away from somebody else can be very hard. So it's a recommendation that we must approach with a trepidation of salt and with utter care. Because the area, by the very nature of the area we're dealing with, it's very, very close to security, and you can trip up very easily on international protocols and conventions, and then find that you have not, as cabinet, applied yourself sufficiently because it has drifted too far from yourself. So there is a bit of concern on that. I make those comments purely to draw the attention of the committee. You don't want to hold. You don't find yourself wanting to hold an administrative organ responsible for what otherwise is a political responsibility. Actually, it is a political responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Another amendment that we are proposing is the issue of dealing with jurisdiction arising in the kitchen editor. We are therefore proposing that jurisdiction could arise in the community to be controlled, but we will seek therefore to place less onerous control standards over them. The reason is so that we can prevent an over control of items which generally will benefit your civil environment. So we are trying to ensure that for conventional arms, they should be controlled there, which are uncompromised. But when it comes to duality tools, these are items that can be used for dual application, and therefore there should be less onerous controls on that. The other issue that we are proposing, and that we are dealing with, is the issue of EUCs. I think the minister has earlier indicated how the EUC works. This is a measure of control, and it obliges recipient countries to provide some undertaking that they will therefore not sell or re-export these items without the consent of South Africa. So this is meant to ensure that there is no diversion of equipment, there is just no uncontrolled sale of South African products. However, there is a reality now that actually says some other times South African companies do not only sell complete systems, but they also sell component parts. Component parts that can be as small as this or as big as this, depending on how you define this. But we are therefore saying here we wish to create a mechanism for the NCCC to exercise, and then the NCCC will exercise a considered discretion on this. Where items which are considered to be small and which are going for integration, we therefore say the NCCC can, on application that has been put forward, and on good cause shown, on good motivation given, the NCCC can therefore decide to say, look, we can allow that the EUC be provided, but in cases of onward sale, there could be an exemption in cases of integration, because for instance, we find these items going into a big system.
therefore can't be sold to whoever is there until such time that the NCCC authorizes the re-export of those items. So that is meant just to deal with the reality. However, in exercising this discretion or the exemption, the NCCC will therefore look at quite a number of things. The companies that are involved in that, as well as the armed control system of the country where they are selling to. So say, while the NCCC must satisfy also the competency or also the strength of the armed control system to where this particular exemption is actually granted. But obviously, this is meant to deal with two methods. You as would know that the defense industry currently is arranged in a value chain. This company, the A400M, is a classic example of how the value chain operates in defense industry. You find many countries providing different parts at different places of the value chain. But at the end of it, comes out a product or comes out a system. But then how you therefore deal with the value chain is how therefore we are saying, yeah, this item here is meant to facilitate that. I must say, South African companies are participating in international value chain already. And therefore there are certain limitations that are currently present if it does not provide this necessary exemption, if necessary. It won't be it will be even if there is a reason and there is a clear motivation for it. And the NCCC applies money to it. Disclosure and non-disclosure of information, I think, is an aspect that you've dealt with for quite some time in the area, in the morning. I think the NCCC is founded on the principles of accountability and reporting and all of that. And that is why we're saying the NCCC will continue to provide reports to all those standing institutions that it has to provide to. But however, we are proposing, with the proposal, I always do this subject to the deliberations of the committee, that the United Nations report, which is annual, we will therefore have to provide, we retain that as is, and equally all the reporting that have to go to cabinet, we will retain those as they are. However, when it comes to parliament, we are just proposing to report to parliament on annual basis as opposed to quarterly basis. And I think the motivation for that is clearly administrative, to say there is a challenge around honoring all the obligations. And the other reason is that already the way in which the defense industry exports are happening, as the minister has explained earlier, some other time in a period of 3 months, you may therefore have insufficient information to report on, because the nature of these things, they can. You can authorize in January and only to see some exports happening next year. So our view is that it is best to have the reporting happening on annual basis. But obviously, there should be some synchronization of the UN report as well as South African reports as they come to Parliament, as indicated earlier. But on the issue of disclosure, it is not only related to reporting. There is also issues about if a person in terms of law, what is called the promotion of administrative justice act, just to take the last and first. When a decision is taken by an institution, an administrative institution, and that decision is prejudicial to the interest of a person, and the person therefore is entitled to seek reasons, to be provided with reasons why a decision of a particular kind has been taken. So we are saying, in terms of law, we have to provide reasons if somebody looks for reasons. However, PAJA, which is the controlling act in that area, says sometimes there will be grounds where you can, as an administrative institution, refuse to provide reasons. And I think, therefore, we will never rely as the NCCC on the provisions of PAJA, because sometimes it says, if there are commercial interests, security interests, foreign relations interests to be compromised, therefore there could be a sufficient ground to actually refuse to do so. However, if those are not applicable, therefore reasons have to be provided. And then equally, there is PAJA, which is the Promotion of Access to Information Act. That act is largely, is a person who applies to get information, not because a decision has been taken against him, but because he exercises his right, democratic constitutional right of getting access to information. And therefore, we're also saying that there should be some information provided to that end. However, subject to limitations of power, which are almost similar to the limitations that I referred to
and the culture. So this is what we are saying, just as an analysis, disclosure of information in all respects that I've tried to indicate. Offenses and penalties. We are increasing the number of offenses and penalties that we have currently.
Mm-hmm.
We're saying, therefore, if a person, therefore, is actually in possession of conventional arms without authority, that will constitute an offense, and therefore there should be a corresponding penalty given to that particular person. Obviously, in the current text, there is no reference to possession, but therefore, in order for us to have a bind to the provision that says possession, we need therefore to have a corresponding offense, which will therefore lead to a penalty when that materializes. Administrative penalties. Under admin penalties, Chairperson, we are proposing the reality of the situation currently is such that there are some offenses that the NCACC deems to be less serious. For instance, in this business, a person may have a permit that says, you shall bring to South Africa the item by the 11th of August. But because of whatever reason, either the delay in the ship or this and that and the other, and the person delivers, brings back the equipment on the 12th. If you are clinically reading the act, the person has committed an offense. And you need therefore to be dealing with the person, take the person through the court process, litigation, years, spend money and all of that. But we're saying therefore some of those could be dealt with through an administrative penalty where the NCACC can therefore give out some admin penalties on those items, on those offenses which are less serious. But the person, therefore, will have the right to retain a court process. If a person chooses not to subject himself to the admin process, he can, therefore, be taken through the court process. We leave him that as an option. We're not shutting that one down. But
we are trying to make a difference between a misdemeanor and a crime. It's an offense, but not of the gravity to be a crime, but nevertheless it is an offense. So that kind of thing can be handled without the cumbersome court process with the resources that we have.
Maybe
just
one qualifier to that is that admin penalty will therefore be in line with the administrative justice laws of the country. It will not be arbitrary decision. There will be due process followed in arriving at a conclusion.
The defense secretary has made a recommendation that whatever penalties are imposed in that way, he would be very happy if he was allowed to retain, you know, whatever proceeds may come from the there should be a system established, and that particular system must therefore demonstrate that the company has got a particular system in place to ensure that they comply. Obviously, then what the NCNC will do will issue guidelines around that, and the inspectors would visit companies to ensure that they are indeed complying with that, because it is the only way in which you can therefore achieve best practice in terms of how companies comply. But later then, one of the things that we found is that mandatory, it should be a must that they have that. But that would also inform how we therefore create companies. I'll come to the next point about creating of companies, which is very important too. This proposal, which will be dealt with in the regulation, is aimed at dealing with the regulation. It is dealing with the creation of companies, meaning that a mechanism is required, because companies are not the same. Currently, the approach that we have is that one size fits all. But the reality is that companies are different. There are companies which are compliant, there are companies which are lukewarm, and companies which are non-compliant. And what we are therefore proposing here is that we put companies according to categories. Obviously, we work out the methodology to do so. One of it, maybe you can say, after some time, we give companies a notice to say, after a period of 2 years, depending on how you conduct yourself in terms of compliance with the law, we therefore put you in certain categories. There may be A, which are people who are totally compliant, B, which are lukewarm, and C. And therefore, once you put them in that particular fashion, you can therefore be able to spend a lot of time on C in terms of inspection, because we know generally that is where a lot of problems are. But at the same time, you do not therefore say everything here is okay. You continue to do that, but your resources and time are dedicated to here. But I must say, this is where that the support structures to the NCACC will do. The NCACC will continue to decide on each application as it comes, whether it's in company A, B, or C. But in order to facilitate the work of the NCACC, the support structures will ensure that there is a lot of work being done to put companies so that we can therefore be able to focus our resources. But the methodology therefore to be used in doing that, one of it would include the issue of compliance with permits. If a company consistently and flagrantly violates permit conditions, it doesn't bring items in good time and all of it, I think that would automatically give the company a green light to go to a lower grade. But if a company complies all the time, it demonstrates a compliance program and all of it, it may therefore be somewhere else. And again, the whole issue of the internal compliance program, I think, speaks to that. Program approval, Chairperson, is a matter that, again, is informed by what actually happens in the defense industry business. Currently, you find that we have to authorize every export or import of items that go. They could be so small, they could be so big. But what we are proposing, Chairperson, is that we want to introduce a program approval concept, which will therefore say the NCACC may therefore approve a program. For instance, if you are dealing with a grievance program, you therefore approve the grievance program as is, and authorize also the company taking part in that particular program. Because currently you find that these items are moving between Sweden and South Africa on a daily basis. Daily basis, they move in and out. And if therefore you approve a concept, and you therefore give a company what is called a multiple export permit, which therefore says that they can export various items at different times. But then that should be subject to reconciliation, that should say, so that you don't have to authorize every day. But they can therefore take items and back within the confines of the grievance program. Not beyond that, but within the confines of that. And therefore, you can therefore have the facilitation of movement. But then all that you therefore do is to ensure that you've got a mandatory reconciliation statement to set. You can set a time frame and say, we want the companies involved in a grievance program to come to us on 3 monthly basis and provide us a statement of items they exported and those that they imported.
we can verify that because there's already systems of verification. The custom, when they go through the port of entry, they have a deal of entry and all of that. Those are stamped and all of them. So you can actually verify what are the items that actually went out and what are those that actually came in. It's not just we are leaving it out to the wolves, but there is a control mechanism. And in the reconciliation that they will therefore provide, you can therefore be able to spend some time and say, these items, okay, we see the date and all of it, and all of so and therefore give them a further permit, depending on how they conduct themselves. But if they conduct themselves badly, and therefore you can consider to take away the problem of approval, and they come back to individual export and import. But we are saying we're not derogating from the arms control principles. We continue to apply them, but in a manner that actually takes into account the reality of business. Regulation chapter, which is the last section. We want to empower the NCACC to make regulations and to issue norms. We currently the Act talks about regulations, but there are certain limitations that the NCACC has in terms of issuing regulations. We therefore want to give the NCACC sufficient power to do so, but in the provision or in the issuing of notices or the issue notices, you will therefore find that, as I said earlier, there will be control items, there will be conventional arms, jewels, goods and services, but then there will be lists that will be produced that actually say you don't have to dream what a conventional arm is. There will be lists that are provided to say anything that is in this list is called a conventional arm. Anything that is in this list is called a jewel with goods. Anything that is this is called service that is controlled. So that you don't create doubt. A person will know by reading the Act and say that if I'm doing this and that and the other, it is controlled. If I'm doing this and that, it's not controlled. So we try to address the issue of certainty there. But at the same time, we want to give the NCACC all the power that it needs to actually issue this notice in line with what is determined as the control data. But the other issue is to empower the NCACC again, therefore, to make regulations on type of stamps. Now, this would provide details on the different kinds of stamps. Conditions applicable. At the back of the permit, there are conditions. So the NCACC must have the power to amend and change and make whatever conditions that it takes to put there. Also, issues of information to be released, because this is the issue that the NCACC has got to deal with. This section can therefore be linked with the whole issue of disclosure and non-disclosure of information, so that in the regulation, in detail, it is stated that this information will be released to who and when. And delegation. Delegation is a key important thing. A lot of the work of the NCACC is actually done intersectionally between the meetings. It's very important, therefore, that the support structure to the NCACC, like the secretariat in my case, inspectorate and others, have sufficient delegation to do certain work. But I must say, these delegations are not vacuum delegations. They are delegations that will be exercised within the set parameters. And whoever exercises those delegations, we have to do so with a clear line of accountability to the NCACC. And the NCACC will remain fully accountable for whatever delegation that is given, because delegation does not absorb a question of accounting. So the same principle applies here. But all that is saying, it doesn't facilitate the work of the NCACC. As you could see, Chairperson, I think a lot of the proposals that we are making here can only be realized if we've got regulation. So you therefore start that down, we could have an act being amended. But you must therefore quickly start to have regulations drafted, because you can only give effect, give meaning to this act if the regulations are detailed. So we can't just implement it out there. So I'm just saying, it is very important that the legislation is approved, but also ensure that the regulation, which is a vehicle of implementation, is actually also follows up soon after the approval of the act. Because these proposals can only be given effect to all, many of them, I must say, if the regulations are actually drawn up. Chairperson, that brings me to the end of the presentation. Thank you.
Thanks a million. out of the most room. Now he takes us down.
Thank you for the presentation. Just a few questions for clarity. I think the issue the minister has is a matter of concern, not only about the risk of taking the decision making further away, but also of the way it stands at the moment. It is an opposition, it's a non political body, it's official, senior officials in government. And I would have thought that it may be better for politicians to report and recommend to politicians. Now you have officials to, maybe we should look at the composition of that scrutiny committee, not to take it too far away and to take the risk. And secondly, we must make very sure that the scrutiny committee must not drift away from the original section 15 of the Act. So that's my first question, that we just make sure that the composition is also in line with what we want to achieve. My second one is on section 23, the heading used to be disclosure and non-disclosure. I just want to make sure that we haven't changed that heading, because now it's the report of committees, and I think it'll be a pity if we lose the heading, because the heading of 23 spoke about disclosure and non-disclosure. That we want to discuss. But I'm not sure in the bill whether we change the heading to report of committees. Let's reconsider the retention of the heading. And then my last question, now we have in the NCAC a directorate, we have got the secretariat, we've got the NCACC committee, and we've got the scrutiny committee. Just help me to say that you have clarity as the drafters of this amendment bill. You have clarity about your relationship between these committees and bodies. The roles, the responsibilities, the relationships of the relationship between all these committees, at least four committees, or issues. The directorate, the secretariat, the NCAC committee, and the scrutiny committee. That there is a golden thread running between those different goals and responsibilities and relationships. That you are satisfied that there's no overlap or dovetailing or anything unclear about what they exactly know, what they want to do, and how they want to do it. And my last question is just about the capacity. Last time you made a presentation to this committee, you said you were understaffed, under-resourced, overworked, and all other names you call it. And you say there's no human resources effect in your memorandum. So, knock on, or additional constraints on your human resources or funding. There's a lot of changes, a lot of additional things come in, but human resources as is, funding as is. Just make sure, ensure us that there's no additional constraints being put on the human resource aspect and the funding aspect of this National Convention Arms Control Committee with these.
Thank you for coming here. My question also relates to the scrutiny committee, which would seem to create a lot of power, if you can express it that way, in the hands of officials. I do think we'll have to look very carefully at the whole concept, because what can happen very easily when you have a committee like that is that in the end all the work is delegated to such a committee, and then in the end the real committee rubber stamps what that committee decides. So I've got certain reservations. It's not clear exactly how this committee will function. Apparently, the regulation will determine what is a quorum, who is going to act as chair of that committee, etc., etc. I do think that before we can pass such an amendment, such legislation, one will have to be sure exactly how it's going to function. And I would be really reluctant to give a blanket approval of the establishment of this committee without its functions and powers and how it's constituted also being encompassed in the Act. So I think it must either be elaborated or be scrapped completely. The other, and I voiced my concern previously, as far as the reporting is concerned, you state that you will still be reporting to Cabinet on a quarterly basis. Now, the Chair did admit that such reports weren't forthcoming to Cabinet. Now, these reports will still go to Cabinet, but won't come to this committee. Due to, as you stated, the administrative problems and additional work. Now, I do not think that it is necessary that the quarterly report submitted to Cabinet, which you say you're going to comply with, should differ in any way to the quarterly report that's submitted to this committee. And in that sense, I do question this amendment to a large degree. Thank you. Those are my reservations concerning and my questions concerning these amendments.
Thank you. Yes, we have to look into the key proposals that are in the bill with some diligence. I'm seeing a situation where we're going to let it go as a committee, giving it some key power. Now it then says to me, it's like this. He says, this now it comes as an entity of an entity.
Yeah.
An entity of an entity. Mm-hmm. Because immediately you legislate, you give it power.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happens then with an act that establishes that entity and assigns the key function? When now we are going to legislate for the existence of another entity within an entity, that is going to assume certain responsibilities and power because of an act, a convention. There's going to be some kind of a contestation at the end of the day to then say, but that the act does allow. So you as the NCACC, as much as you've been established by the Act of Finance, and I'm also established by the Act of Finance, yes. We're debating, we should discuss this more than possible, so that we can achieve what we want to achieve with that. I'm just also adding to what Tertius was going to say, when we begin to review it, also, let's consider the question as do we really have to legislate for this matter? But it may allow me to answer. Okay.
Oh, thank you, Chair. With the scrutiny and the respectful check, that the respect progress are supposed to be doing what now, the scrutiny is supposed to be. The principal act in the amendment is back and forth and trying to reconcile this whole issue. I'm still not in the right place.
I definitely miss you. The scrutiny committee, that one is here, the consensus is raised, but the scrutiny committee
as I said, it's a committee that is currently functional. I mean, it is not a thing that is going to be new tomorrow when the act is approved. It is already in operation. And I have said that it operates now under the subcommittee of the NCC, but there have been some questions being raised about it in terms of its work. But all that it does, the secretariat receives the application, it prepares the application, and the secretariat takes the application, therefore it puts them before scrutiny committee and says, we have received the following application, here are supporting documents. And therefore the scrutiny committee considers this application. Obviously, there will be people representing various review departments. A person from Foreign Affairs will therefore provide information that is Foreign Affairs related, near related, it's the near representative and other parts. And therefore, what therefore comes out as the recommendation of the scrutiny committee is based on input by departments, which is therefore packaged properly, therefore taken by secretariat again as recommendation by scrutiny committee. It takes over to NCEC. It is presented in the manner that I'm presenting now to say, here is the matter. This company wants to sell 1, 2, and 3. This is information accompanying the application. This is what the scrutiny committee has recommended. And therefore, we place the matter before the NCEC to therefore deliberate. What therefore happens, the NCEC does not just say it is approved. They will therefore look at the information again. And then they reserve the right to either reject the recommendation by the scrutiny. It happens from time to time, or accept it. But I'm just saying, there is no cross-emphasis between these institutions. Their responsibilities are clear. All that they are complementary as opposed to the contradiction. So we look at them in that particular fashion, not as contradiction, but as complementary.
Just before then, why do you raise that? Because you are them saying it's functioning already. Because there's one thing that is going to anger the members is to then say, oh, you are then saying what's coming up at 10 points already in existence. That's deliberate. But I'm then saying it's already functioning. He says it's been functioning for some time now and blah, 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 blah. Now we just have to let it. And you had members I think then that when the minister was also here, he was talking as a member now of the committee to the expression. It's about officials. And if that is the case, I go to a legislative responsibility immediately to begin to legislate. Now, he was then saying you are legislating for officials to begin to assume and take reform. I think that is one other thing that I could hear, you know, from the other two. So I'm then saying there's a caution. That is why I want to then say, let's leave us, let's continue. Mm-hmm. But I want you to come in. I saw your hands like that. You may come in.
Yeah, no, thanks very briefly, Chair President. Indeed, the description is always permanent as the FCA's work. And it's actually located within the secretary. And the secretary, defense secretary. You see, the question that the minister was raising, I think it's very important. Because whilst at ministerial level, we say this cabinet committee, chairperson, deputy chairperson, appointed by the president, and they were to be elevated there, at the level of scrutiny, it is located within the defense secretary, it is tasked by the secretary for defense, supposed to consist of all these other departments. You know, all the work, nothing actually goes to it meets every Wednesday of a month before the actual NCA. It has got almost a similar volume of work. Actually, sometimes there's no difference between the volume of the minutes of NCA. Because everything that goes to NCA has got to serve them. Departments are given 2 weeks to work on this permit, Foreign Affairs to check, staff to check, NIA to check, defense to check, and then they come to scrutiny on the Wednesday, a month before. And then there, depending, we use our discretion. Mr. Chairperson, sometimes we reject this, sometimes we put that on hold. sometimes we recommend that and so on. Sometimes we want several currency and so on. And the following month then we go through the NCA. Now I have said it's located later on they took a decision because we actually the scrutiny was primarily implementing another very important program, the compliance program arising out of the American problem, you know, that violation by Armstrong and others. So the Americans brought in money, they put in certain conditions, and we're actually administering that money, compliance part. But later a decision was taken that now maybe it's too close to Tibet, let it go to foreign affairs under immunity. DCG means it's there now. But you see, the fact that it's located within the secretary, apart from what the minister has raised, there are other issues. Because now the focus of the Auditor General is on the Defense Secretary, the DC of Defense. And as you see under their audit report, it's reported as other matters. You know? But although we say this thing is supposed to be there, up intelligence and so on, they want to qualify us on these issues. And there's a big problem there, as he has indicated. And in trying to obviate that problem, that's why the subcommittees are recommending that actually legislate it there. You know? That's because they are on me, the Auditor General. They say, where is the Constitution in all this? How is it composition? How is it working? How does it spend funds and so on? You know, you have inspectorate appointed by me, actually. Directorate Inspectorate, Vanessa, by me. He is also there, the directorate. You know those, and how they report that sometimes they are direct with the chairperson of the NCA. So I agree with Honourable Member that we need to look very carefully on this and question that the very important that this is up there as cabinet promise, you know, and there must be more involvement of actually at cabinet level. And they will be very happy actually as people and clarify this. Currently, it should be very pure and secretary is not even housed within the defense. You know, those types of issues. But which I thought the proper thing to do is to deal that under the regulations rather than legislation. The composition, function, role of the scrutiny. Let it be elaborated properly under the regulations. Thank you.
Yeah. don't get the end of the day come and then say, you know, like the second said.
Jonathan, I agree entirely with the intervention by Mr. Masvelo. Maybe the other point which I need to clarify, it has been brought to my attention that I think we are using the way Secretariat and Directorate of Provincial Arms Control interchangeably. Mm-hmm. I think it's one and the same thing. I think in the Act it's called Secretariat to the NCACC.
Mm-hmm.
But the documentation that you have seen, they're talking about Directorate of Provincial Arms Control. Mm-hmm. That is the same as the Secretariat.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's just one and the same thing.
Sure.
Yes, I'm the head of the Secretariat. I'm Director of Conventional Arms Control, so
mm-hmm.
so meaning is one and the same
mm-hmm.
and the same thing. It's just to clarify that.
Thanks.
But I think Chairperson, well, it's for administrative purposes.
You know, thank them. I'm going to excuse you guys to go and search your business.
I'm
going to
switch. I think that the point, Chairperson, if we were to deal with the committee in the regulations outside of the Act, I think one of the things that I had indicated earlier is that in the principal Act, there is a subcommittee, and the subcommittee has got the start and end date. And therefore, if we were to deal with the scrutiny committee in the regulations, one proposal would therefore be just to make some adjustment on that subcommittee establishment so that it does not have the start and end date if you want to hold that particular show. The other point raised by Mr. Kumar is about the capacity. Whether the capacity, now we are talking about all other things, whether we still continue to say there's capacity constraints, what are the financial implications and all of that. I think the people coming here is established. I think it's 2D. These are people who come from other departments. They are foreign affairs and all of that. They are employed by those departments. They are not getting paid from defense departments. And the work that they therefore do is work that is actually presented by the Director of Commercial Arms Control. The Secretary continues to serve this structure. So we're just saying there's no implication insofar as this concerned, because it's already the work that is due on daily basis. The capacity that we've indicated to be short remains as is. Obviously, we're addressing this through other means, but the legislation would not bring about some additional work as it were. I think generally, Peterson, those were the questions about, I think the issue of reports, as stated by Dr. Schumann, I think we have dealt comprehensively with the report, and I think we are going to be guided by what the committee considers to be the best way to deal with it. And as such, therefore, whatever we think is right, we've got to be able to put that in the disclosure section as well as in the regulation, so that there is no doubt about the level and kind of information that we therefore provide.
Thank you.
Thank you.
One other thing, Chair, is the reporting. That, I feel that to report annually is too much along with. If you are saying in 3 months there is nothing tangible to report, at least in 6 months there must be something to report, so that we are able to know what's happening in the mid-year. Before annual report, because really something will happen and pass without us knowing. And by the time we come to report, a lot of damage will have happened. And I think we need to avoid that, because already there's a lot of noise that even Parliament is not taking NCACC to task about its delay to report. What the Act, the principal Act, is saying is quarter. That has not been happening for some time now. And if we are going to agree to say annually, I doubt even that will happen on time. So I'm now off the queue that at least within 6 months, instead of quarterly, yes, I agree, 3 months is a shorter period. At least if we make it 6 months, and then at least twice a year. Because anyway, by the time they report annually, would they know what has happened half year into the other half of the year, and when we get the annual report, at least it won't be difficult for the NCA to make that annual report, because we'll be knowing exactly what has been achieved.
But the member is coming up with a proposal that must be considered, which I think when we deliver it finally, because these are some of the conditions that we need to make those part. Because there's a question that one has to ask. How is the NCACC intending to address the reporting mechanism? Yes, there was a commitment that was made earlier by the deputy chair of the NCACC that you're going to go back to your drawing board. I'm saying this week, not about the quarterly report this time, but the annual report. Because if you recall, when the matter was discussed earlier in the day, I did then mention as to when we received the 2006 annual report, which we already received in May, and the 2007 report, which was only received and discussed anyway only today. Now, the matter was raised again. One wants to hear what mechanisms are then going to be put in place. I'm talking about the annual report, not the quarterly report. I mean, still say that the key report, because even then, there were no quarterly reports tabled. There's nothing that would then simply suggest that we failed to table the annual report in time because we've been putting together the quarterly report. there were no quaternary reports at all. There were no quaternary reports at all. So to come up and say, no, it's very tedious, and everyone was saying that, what was very tedious, because it is not even tabled. One semi-quaternary report, two other committees. Now, the problem that we're confronted with is to begin to yell and scream for the annual report, not the quarterly report, which reports that there came colleagues. Now, that is why I want to keep it to get the sense. To then say, if we were trimming, putting ourselves together, so that we must be more functional at the MCAC, what informs? When I arrived also in Parliament, if I didn't, I'm coming from the Bundu. So it's actually whether you have to pull them down or just slide them, or just leave them.
You don't fight in war like that.
you slide them, you don't pull them. So I'm then saying these are some of the areas. We just have to, because we want to see the NCACC functioning, we want the NCACC to report in Parliament at the right time, so that never again must we come and discuss and debate the same issue of reporting. What we want to do is to deal with the reports that have been taken. So I'm then saying, can you then begin to elaborate on this idea of then saying yearly report as against the half yearly report rather than the quarterly report, so that we can find one another.
Thanks. Yeah, no, Chairperson. I think firstly I will take the matter really to come back to the NCAC committee, but to me I think it's quite reasonable to expect that half yearly will report because of the difficulties that the minister explained to us. Partly the difficulty in reporting quarterly is the very nature of this contract. When you find that in a quarter here, there's not much that you report at all. Part of the our new proposal, humble proposal, that we do it yearly, but perhaps that would be enough volume of work and so on, a completed process. But I think it's quite reasonable and acceptable that half a yearly we should really be able to come to really facilitate the committee role of over. That would be the
answer. You tried, Are you then saying the reason why you did not table the report is there was nothing to report?
No, maybe. Yeah, but no, that is not the reason.
The difficult was to report on something that was not there. But that's so difficult. To simply say, there's nothing to report.
Now we consist the...
Okay, fine.
Yeah. Okay, then. Chairperson, I think there's two aspects to this matter. I think one aspect is that we've got history behind us. What has happened, I think, for years, before we even came around, is that some of these reports had provided the level of information that we have provided now, and they've always been directed to the Office of the Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Defense. And I think what we have therefore done is just continued with the tradition. Obviously, now we realize that that's why we made an inquiry earlier, whether this is still right to continue to provide the report to the chair as opposed to Parliament. This was because we realized that the history is something that is not necessarily correct about that. But currently, Chairperson, I think the issues of reporting on a quarterly basis versus twice a year and annually. I think our reason we're informed by the nature of business. Contracts take a long time to realize and all of that. But secondly, is the whole issue of the playing field around the reporting not being particularly clear. Mm-hmm. Currently, you see on the Act, the section 23 of the Act,
yeah.
It continues to say the reports that will go to Parliament are exports of the previous year. It only says exports. It doesn't talk about imports. It doesn't talk about any other defense. But earlier, I have therefore heard the committee say they would want much more information than that. So it's therefore important that therefore as we, in order to accommodate this interest, we also look at what is it that the law says we should provide. If we say export but we require import, we must therefore say import, contracting, and this and that and the other. So that whatever happens is therefore in line with the law. But the other thing therefore, which is the reclassification of the report again, is the whole issue of tradition. It has always been dealt with as secret as that, but we need therefore to be agreeing on the kind of classification that it is. But I find Mary Chairperson in your earlier statement that actually says, as Defense Department normally does, as a department, where they provide two kinds of reports. One which is a public report, as the other one which is confidential report. Because therefore we can, with confidence, provide information which is very sensitive in the confidential report, which can only be seen by Parliament, and not beyond that. And therefore the public version becomes a different version. And I think therefore those are proposals, Chairperson, that we as we go through this amendment process, we take to heart and be able to better as we go along. Thank you.
And then if I may another question.
Yeah, I would just like to ask the President Scrutiny Committee. Not clear if there's if you just call it a scrutiny committee, or is it a scrutiny committee that's actually functioning as a scrutiny committee, and if so, is it established in terms of a certain clause within the present act, and then furthermore, is it functions determined by regulation, or at the moment is it an ad hoc committee and you just want to formalize it? Because I really appreciate the Secretary's input. Where he said, where he indicated that it might be the route to have it all determined by regulation. Maybe we can just get that information.
I think the scrutiny committee is a committee which is established currently under the section we talked about, subcommittee. Mm-hmm. It is established in terms of that provision. I'll just get my colleague to look for that particular section. But the problem about that is that, you see, it says there will be a task to be performed over a particular period of time. And you're saying the NCACC does something different. And the second thing, it says here, one member of the NCACC will therefore serve on subcommittees established. So which is not the case in the instance of the scrutiny committee. That is why therefore we want to provide for that. So we are very amenable to whether we do see that in the legislation or in the regulation. But the point that Dr. Kuman is raising about whether this committee is ad hoc, the answer is no, it is not ad hoc. It's a committee that sees it got a schedule of meetings determined throughout the year, and it sticks to those particular ones. For instance, there is one that is sitting tomorrow, which the chairperson would have to chair. It's predetermined meeting, and there is a particular agenda that is standing. So there's no, it's not ad hoc at all. But the question now is, our view is to have that institution working, but where we position it, and I think it should be informed therefore by the discussion of this particular committee.
Yeah.
Remember, we still have to once again apply our mind, particularly on this particular committee, because we have to have function. And the issue that is being raised by the paper that suggests that so that it must not be an interim and ad hoc subcommittee. It must be like just a full life and now we have to further interrogate a key function. Yes, the data is indicated that the function of the committee that is already there. And
because this time around, I guess, I want to move. That is why I think we're saying that let's begin to open up.
Yeah.
Let's begin to open up into cultures from all ends. As much as I do appreciate your intervention, I'm happy that I didn't hear you saying I told you so. But I'm saying we have a chance before us. We are having quite a chance. I think some of your team is going to participate, though they are not going to participate. I only hope that is that you have read some of their submissions. If you don't have, I'll request you to write these submissions so that you can begin to hear what they are saying. What they are saying. And we'll be able to manage that particular process accordingly, because some of those submissions they want to talk out of context. Some of well, that's part of our work, to listen to everything. So I'm saying, let's go back to our point. So I think they've had the committee members. Currently, I think the concentration level, the concentration level, they're becoming more and more important. But there are many other things that we can do. We have to stress the science. And I'm saying this because, like, if you are going to look at the track record, this is our final book. So you then begin to reflect on the work that has been done by the committee. Work done by the committee, oversight that we have done. AMSCO, your NCAC. Then you begin to identify some shortcomings here and there, and then you ask yourself as a parliamentarian what is it. That is why, later in the meeting, I did indicate that at times, in fact, not at times. When I was calling for the previous report that they gave in Parliament regarding their initiative, appreciating that the initiative that you took to come up with this amendment. Because as I do say, the only problem that the committee was confronted with is that the committee was not in time and begin to engage, identifying that the challenges that the FCA is confronted with. It's only early in the year when the minister was here that the president started to then say, these are the key challenges we're coming up with the moment, so that we can then begin to defer and defend the position of the FCA, which we are teaching, because now we're having this particular bill before us. We are preparing for the new parliament. Because whatever commitments that are going to come up with, that ever we come, it must be watertight. So that whatever takes over, we'll be able to carry the money. One thing that excites me more. Subject of the NCAC up to this very day where we are. One could we say good call, try and error, but you're mature. That's the reason now you are coming up with this particular kind of focus. That is why I appreciate also the contribution made by members and say how to be difficult, because we now feel that the necessity of strengthening the NCACC, part of obtaining international challenges for the continent. If we don't strengthen that community, I was laughing when the minister was saying, when the big brother says this, he just says to comply. But with this kind of an oversight that is being done by the NCAC, we're still going to further inform SADC and our African countries, because they will be taking it from us, because we're always seen as the leading country, that's from. So then how do you then begin to make this a question of peace in the world, because our constitution says the NCACC is simply there also to make that kind of influence. Well, we're sending our arms to an inquiry. I'm saying that I didn't hear any member of the portfolio committee saying that there's the scrutiny committee is not needed. Mm-hmm. What the members are doing is waiting actually. Of where do you want to place it? They're not going to run in conflict with the NCACC, the mother body. So I'm then saying, for us, it's just to listen tomorrow. And we are meeting on Thursday as a portfolio committee to interrogate all the issues. Most probably, we're looking to the program next week. We then invite so that we can take us now close by close. And then we'll also be coming up with our key programs. We should just suggest that the activities that are going to take place, I think, of the next few weeks are going to be different. That's a marvelous thing that we're going to take place. Members of Parliament have been invited.
Mm-hmm.
But having said that, I'm then saying we might adjust accordingly. But that event is very important. We might amend our program so that we accommodate that event that is going to take place. It's a week event. It's a whole week event.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm then saying it might disturb us, but we're going to talk to the program committee and make the necessary application so that members may then attend that. Having said that, we are all in this business together. We can work it out. I think it was the OJs or presentations or whatever they were.
last week was a different meeting. But this week is when and we do appreciate you coming together. We were also dependent on the election with them. Because the one thing that was raised by the committee, we need you guys to support the candidate. Whenever I feel it's going to be a case, the key guys who come up with a policy and what informs us that it's going to be a case. Because if that was not the case, we just simply move with it and simply say, Minister, please don't introduce it. We are never going to do it. You call one of the officials and introduce it to the house. So then saying, let's look into that particular area because there's a public out there is watching. So we don't have to meet one another as we move on. And then saying, thanks again for responding and communicate accordingly. We want to thank the police minister for also understanding and acceding to some of the issues. And we do also make a commitment that we are going to strengthen that administrative coordination of our administrative so that we must not miss one another. As I've indicated also earlier, we are also going to talk to them. Because the minister that deals at him, Parliament is only one thing to say, come. So you just leave everything else and you just. But as I'm saying, the plea that came from the minister, we've taken a note of that. So let's say we have to level our paper so that we find out. Members, without any further ado, unless the question wants to say something, without any further ado, then the program standard is that tomorrow is the public hearing, the day after tomorrow is the public meeting. Then, next week is your party. We're going to be there before. Most probably, a fortnight. We'll discuss the management of the Consular Committee to clear the coming with the cause of the society. Somebody is at the end.
Thank you.
What week? So you will be here tomorrow?